Very happy to be joined now by PJ Carlissimo, former NBA head coach, Raptors assistant, three-time NBA champion, and a current analyst for ESPN. PJ, thanks so much for this. Does it trust the process? It's been made fun of over the last couple of years, especially when Embiid, you know, failed to play a game for a while there. But it seems like the wait might have been worth it.
Ben, I don't think there's any question. And you said, you know, obviously the Raptors have had their way with the Sixers recently, but not this Sixers team. This is a different deal. What are the 7 out of 9, 8 out of 10, whatever they've won, they're playing right recently as well as any team in the league. They don't just have wins. They have impressive wins. They've won at home. They've won on the road. And as you said, Embiid, it's early, but I mean, what he's done in the limited minutes he's playing. And the thing that impresses me is the consistency. You know, when he's not playing back-to-backs with good reason. They're not playing him more than 30 minutes, obviously also with good reason. But to put up 20 points in less than 30 minutes and do it night in and night out, and when you watch the game, I mean, he does everything. He blocks shots. He shoots threes. He can put it on the floor. I mean, he's a very skilled player. Totally different, but he reminds me a little bit of Anthony Davis in terms of the skill set.
Yeah.
He does so many things well. And that was the way he was advertised coming out of school, and everybody was scared, you know, with the medical issues. So if he stays healthy, he is the real deal.
This question, it seems ridiculous, but then you think about it a couple of seconds, and man, I feel like it needs to be asked. Who would you rather be long-term, the Toronto Raptors or the Philadelphia 76ers? And understanding that in 2017, hey, the Raptors are still the second-best team in the Eastern Conference, and it would be a surprise if they did not meet the Cavaliers in the East Final once again. And once you get that far, they took them to 6 games last year. You can, I suppose, make an NBA Finals and I suppose win a title, but you got to give their chances at less than 5%. The NBA is about having generational stars, and Embiid appears to be that. Who would you rather be long-term?
I'd rather be the Raptors. You don't win with young guys. I mean, I love what Philly has done. Brett Brown is a close friend. We worked together for a lot of years in San Antonio. It goes back to when he was playing in Boston University for Rick Pitino 100 years ago. I mean, that's how far Brett and I go back. And I really respect what they've done, and you got to like the future. But forget about it. You don't win. Mm-hmm. Young guys don't even get to play in May and June in this league. Just doesn't happen. Look at him. I mean, Anthony Davis, you can't play much better than he's played. They've been nowhere. So, no, I like the Raptors because the Raptors are still young. I mean, Jonas is very young. You know, I love what Pascal has done this year. DeMar and Kyle are in their prime, but it's not like they're declining or they're going anywhere. I love the Raptors where they're at right now, and I love the Raptors going forward. I think Case has done a great job. I think the team has improved incrementally each year. So for me, it's easy to say from the out. Now, I know I'm not sitting there, you know, in Toronto looking at that roadblock down in Ohio, but the whole league is looking at that.
Yeah.
You know, like you're saying, I agree with you. You need a generational player, but I don't know with that if you still – you need a truck and a sledgehammer to knock that guy out of the way. So how many generational players does Golden State have? 3 or 4, and they haven't. You know, they beat them once. They lost to them another time. So I love where the franchise is at right now. I really do. Very happy with the administration, the way it's been built, and everything there has been. I think Masai's done a great job. But I just love, you know, I loved it the year I was there. I think most everybody else in the league would love to trade places with Toronto where that franchise is at right now.
Is that, and has the perception of that franchise changed among free agents? We saw Damari Carroll a couple of years ago. He was one of the bigger name free agents make the leap over Toronto, take the cash, play for this Raptors team, which was starting to emerge at the time. Is the perception around the league very much different than just a couple of years ago when it comes to free agents landing in Toronto with the Raptors?
I think, yes, free agents, I tell you, Ben, I just never know why people make – I still think money becomes the primary reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going back 15 years, people used to say, oh, you can't play up in Toronto because of the tax structure, and which is totally unfounded. Having lived there, obviously, players, it doesn't make any difference. You pay the taxes combined, so that's no factor. The only thing, and this is just me, living there, and the Leafs go through it, and my buddy Lou Lamoriello, I know, is going to get that sorted out. And the Raptors go through it. Dealing with customs, to me, is the only negative playing in Toronto. There's no more negatives. There really is not. It's a world-class city. I think the players like that. I think the fact that it's in the East, frankly, is a plus nowadays because it's the path to the top in the East is better than the path to the top in the West. And I think free agents have to understand that. I think free agents want money, which Toronto can give them, and they want a franchise that's committed. Mr. P is still, I know, you know, a lot has changed since I was there, but I think the perception is it's a great franchise to play for. There's money there. More importantly, there's excellent players to play with. You have a chance. Those guys want a chance to win. I think that's a big reason Damari went there, and I think it's a reason that guys will go there in the future. And, you know, the people in the league, particularly free agents, they've played in Toronto enough. The All-Star Game, of course, was there. People know what that city's like. So I think it can continue to be an attractive destination for free agents.
Yeah, even though during that All-Star Game, it was like the coldest day in like the last 5 years. It was ridiculous.
I was walking to ACC from 3 blocks away.
I drank black coffee, PJ, and I remember I had to walk like literally 15 seconds from my car to the front door of the Raptors fan experience. I was doing a radio show. My coffee was like cold in the 15 seconds I had to walk from my car. I've never experienced, like, I live in Toronto. That is not the norm even in February. It's like it's above freezing today.
People, no, the players like it. They really do. The coaches and players, the front office people in the league love the city.
Yeah, and rightly so. Talking to PJ Carlesimo, former NBA head coach and current analyst for ESPN. So the Paul Millsap stuff seemingly behind us. Of course, the reports now that the Hawks are no longer shopping him, which makes sense because they're 24-18. They're on pace to host a game 7 in the first round of the playoffs right now, on pace to play the Wizards in a first round series. So, but things can change between now and the trade deadline. But do you see the Raptors as having a clear need, something that can incrementally increase their ability to give the Cavs a little bit more than they could handle, considering they got him to 6 games?
To the 4 spot, there's no question about that in terms of, you know, experience and, you know, wanting that. But, I mean, you know, other teams would look at the Raptors and say, well, I'd like to have a 1 like them, or I'd like to have a 2 like them, or I'd like to have a 5 like them, or a 3 like them. I mean, you always want to be if there's one, you would say that. Defensive rebounding has been a problem. And Case is such a defensive coach. It's funny for me to look from the outside of Toronto and see the offensive numbers that are incredible, and see the defensive numbers. I'm used to it being the other way. Case's teams usually, you know, were so good defensively, and say, boy, I don't know if they can score enough points to win. This team can score enough points. The one thing they need to, it appears, looking at stats, to be a little bit better on the defensive boards, rebounding. I know he will get them to continue to improve defensively. Everybody is looking. I don't believe anything right now. You know, people off the market, on the market, what's going on with Carmelo in New York. You know, Masai's talking to a ton of GMs and front office people trying to get something done. So who's available and who's not available, I think only the GMs really know that. So it remains to be seen. It certainly wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know, 3 close games to Cleveland already this year. It's amazing they've played 3 times already, if I'm not mistaken. All close games, all losses. So there goes the tiebreaker. But still, do they know they can play with them? Absolutely. Do they have to show that they can beat them? Yeah, even more so. And you know, that 4 spot comes into play big time against Toronto. There's no question, against Cleveland. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and Jared Sullinger played his first game, regular season game as a Raptor yesterday, 14 minutes, 4 of 10 from the field, missed a couple of 3-pointers, had 8 points and 3 rebounds. How does he change that position? You mentioned Siakam being the later first-round pick. Not a lot was expected from him, and he's been an energy guy, and certainly Patrick Patterson with the knee injury is part of the reason why Sullinger played yesterday. But how does Sullinger, if everybody's healthy, how does Sullinger change the ceiling of this team?
Well, I think he's I like him. I've always been a fan. His father and I go way back. His father's a great coach, and we go back a long ways. He's got a different skill set. You know, the ability to shoot, he can play away from the basket a little bit. I still think, again, talking about that defensive rebounding, I think somebody that could give you huge numbers on the glass and is important. But when you match up with Cleveland, you got to go out and play Kevin. You got to play LeBron when he's at four. Those are just really difficult matchups. I don't know that there's somebody say, oh, good, this gives us a good matchup against Cleveland. You got to be able to guard LeBron when he's at four, or guard Kevin Love, and his double-double away from the basket. And which reminds me, by the way, of Jonas. I'm loving the fact that Jonas is putting up the double-double on a consistent basis, which, I think is really important. But I think Jared Sullinger can help. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he's an accomplished player, but he's got to get healthy, and we got to just see how he blends in with the other guys. Because again, that group has been not at Damari's, there for a little bit longer. The chemistry, I think, is important. So it's mm-hmm. going to be interesting for me to watch how Jared fits in.
Before we let you go, PJ, the starters for the All-Star game announced today, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan have been there before. Which one of those guys, if any, do you expect or should be in the starting five for the Eastern Conference?
I think that's far and away. The guards in both sides, the obvious problem in the West is what do you do with – you can't play any better than Westbrook and Harden are playing, so that means Steph Curry's not a starting all-star, which, you kind of got to take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
I really had trouble looking at the Eastern guards because of your backcourt, both of whom deserve to be starters. And then you look at Isaiah in Boston, you look at Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, and you look at John Wall in Washington, and you just scratch your head. I honestly believe you could make a strong case for DeMar and Kyle both being starters for the All-Star game in New Orleans this year. I'm really anxious to see what the announcement's going to be like tonight.